comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome to an all-new episode of Nerds United, episode 8. And welcome to the new year 2014. Greg Mahochko here, and finally sitting down with somebody other than myself. So you're treated in episode 8. You don't have to hear my ramblings and rantings for a half hour, as I'm joined by a longtime friend of mine. And this is a guy who was instrumental in getting me back into comics. Of course, movies are a little bit easier because there's not quite the time commitment, you know, to sit and watch a movie of, you know, 2 hours or so versus, you know, getting your comics and making that trip to the store or finding that book and that character that you really like. So here's a guy who was instrumental not just in getting me back into comics really in my adulthood, but, you know, we've been hanging out for years, me and this buddy of mine, and to the point that we've gone to several a live WWE show, World Wrestling Entertainment. We've gone to pay-per-views and Monday Night Raws and house shows. We've gone to Buffalo Wild Wings and Showmies. And if you don't know what Showmies is, you probably don't live around St. Louis metro area, or at least in the Midwest. Kind of a Hooters feel, but Hooters by its name, it puts more focus up top, and Showmies by the attire puts a little bit more focus on the rear.
You make it sound so classy, Greg.
I know,
you
I really do. I really do. Again, longtime friend of mine. We've done midnight showings together of The Avengers. We've done midnight showing of Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of Transformers, I believe.
I'm pretty sure at least two of them.
Yeah.
If not all three.
No, definitely two and three. I don't think I was back in this area for the first.
You were in the Nebraska region. Yeah.
I was close to getting back. But anyway, you've heard his voice, even though I haven't officially introduced him yet. That's because I talk too much, and he's somewhat of an impatient person. My longtime friend, Mike. Mike, due to your preference of, you know, a minimal online profile, we're not even going to give your last name. But you're just known as Mike. We could even change your name to protect the innocent and call you Carl.
Mike Carl?
No, just Carl.
Or Carl.
Just
it's
Carl.
A little late. You can go by Mike. It's
okay.
Fine. Thanks for having me, Greg, and I appreciate the FBI protection program. It works well most of the time.
We are here to serve and protect.
We could go with Marl.
Marl?
It's
no.
A little too redneckish, isn't it?
Marl.
Not nerdy enough
Marl.
For Nerds United.
But my longtime friend, Mike, we've known each other. It was after I moved to Nebraska, but I remember coming back on a trip once and
a
bunch of us. I remember just a bunch of us hightailing it down to the movie theater, and I want to say that it was Mount Vernon, and we all kind of, like five or six of us, piled into a car, and one of our friends sped off, probably going about 90 on the interstate, and we went to see Land of the Dead.
Boy, that probably would have been around 04 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
one of my trips back, but
was a horrible movie. I'm sorry.
You didn't like John Leguizamo as slight killer, slight zombie?
That movie was a poop sandwich. Let's just call it for what it was. And I love zombie movies. I have a soft spot for zombie, but that thing was irredeemable. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, and fair enough. But. Going back to our friendship, I mean, we're friends based on, you know, meeting through other friends, mutual
mm-hmm.
friends. And even though, you know, we don't necessarily see those friends anymore, well, I don't so much. I mean, I see
not
a few of them here and there. But, you know, we're both married, and you've got a little one and a not-so-little one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've been friends for a long time. And like I said, you being instrumental in getting me back into, you know, that comic book collecting mentality. And I remember, I don't know if you remember that, I was thinking about this earlier today, that it was back when, I mean, again, you try to maintain a minimal online profile. You don't have the Facebooks, you don't have the Twitter, anything like that. But for a long time, you were very cautious about even online purchasing. So the way that you got me back into comics was we would do a trade. I would go on to WWEshop.com, get you a shirt or a DVD or something, and you'd head over to Twilight, the comic store of our choosing there in Shiloh, Illinois, and you'd pick up a few titles for me.
That's some old school times right there. Man. I almost forgot about that.
We say old school, but it was only like, what, 09?
Yeah, now I'm starting to sound like young people aren't. Well, yeah.
I had a couple of conversations today. We were talking about the tin can and the string telephones, and
we never used those, by the way.
And walking 5 miles to school in the snow uphill both ways,
both ways.
Things like that. So obviously, I don't want to say that we're old, but we're not as young as we used
to be.
Less.
Let's just go with less young. I don't like old either. We're less young. We are maturing rapidly to fine wine perfection. Can we go there?
Okay. Since you bring up maturing rapidly, is there a point that you can ever foresee in your life, maybe in the future, near or distant, where you can be like, maybe it's time to stop collecting comics? Is there ever going to be a time where you're like, it's just not doing it for me anymore?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because this last year, family commitments,
budget
constraints, and I can no longer buy a box full every time I go, which is ridiculous,
right,
by the way. And
if
I know that now. But
we gotta help explain this, because you would go to the comic store, and again, I don't find anything wrong with it, and listeners of Nerds United are not going to find anything wrong with it, because we're all in that community.
We're in this boat together.
We're all in this boat together. But you would say, hey, yeah, man, I went out to Twilight, and of course, when I say Twilight on Nerds United, Twilight Comics, Shiloh, Illinois, you say, yeah, I went out to Twilight. I said, oh, yeah, what'd you get? He said, $150 or something. And my jaw drops, because my wife looks at me if I come out with, $65.
The first step is admitting you have a problem.
But is it really a problem, Mike?
Depends on who you ask. When you ask the wife, it is a problem. But, going back to kind of what you were asking about, I hope in my life I always enjoy comics as an art form and a media that it's just beautiful storytelling. I just think that as you age and develop your collection and your hobby, it's kind of like when you learn to read, you do picture books, and then you progress to chapter books, and then you progress to series books, and then eventually, hopefully, if you enter the adult world, you get to develop appreciation for British literature, classics, things that are canon of these are books that you should read in your lifetime. And with comics, it's kind of like, I don't think I'll ever stop loving them, but it's kind of like your tastes mature, and then they get refined to, okay, I don't have to collect everything with tights in the between the covers. It's what is good writing, what is the best of the best, and these are the ones that I'm going to follow and pursue, if that makes sense.
No, I completely agree. Like you said, maybe getting away from the superhero type
right.
of stories, where you're not always following the Man of Steel or the Caped Crusader, but you're, I know a series that you've been high on for a little while and trying to get me to partake, which I haven't yet. It's not that I don't want to, I just haven't yet. 100 Bullets.
Great story.
But again, it's different. It's a bit of more mature.
Mm-hmm. And there are some age groups that should not read it. I don't think that they, one, the content, two, the just to appreciate all the nuances and the levels of what they're trying to do with the whole scope of the whole work. I don't think you can understand and appreciate all of its, let's go with intricacies, until you have read a long time. And you're right about that. I think that it takes both age and
a bit of maturity.
Yeah.
And that's to say, I'm 31 and you're 34.
Almost-ish, yeah.
Almost.
Very close.
And again, I haven't been mature, every day of the last 10 years.
Well, I think I could tell you I would be lying if I said that.
So, I mean, even though, even if you grow up physically, that does not necessarily meaning that you're, you know, mental. And I'm not, maybe that's probably too deep of a conversation that we want to get into. But let's, you know, a few months ago, I sat down with our friend, another mutual friend of ours, Justin Holman.
Lovely individual.
And, you know, I said, you're friends with you know, another friend of ours. We talked about you in the show.
Aww.
I know you haven't listened to it yet because you're a jerk. But let's talk a little bit about your the sad face, the quivering
tear emoticon. Let's
talk about your childhood and growing up. And Justin shared something pretty remarkable that I didn't know, mm-hmm. is that after you moved away, you know, and you guys were classmates and became friends, mm-hmm. and after you moved away, kind of fell out of contact for a little
yeah.
while and got back into contact and then continued to grow that friendship and that that love of comic book and nerd stuff by you draw pictures and
oh, yeah.
send them to each other in the mail about, you know, or, you know, so tell me a little bit about your upbringing and your wild and crazy youth, sir.
Yeah, well, went to grade school, like you said, from about second to sixth grade with Justin, and had to move away. Family, you know, dad was a preacher, and you kind of go where he's called, and you're too young to do much about it. But he was always really cool about trying to explain and be, you know, considerate on explaining things to us. But did lose touch with Justin for probably about three years or so, and then, oddly enough, it was our English teacher that put us back in contact. Right about the time he graduated grade school, he was talking to Mr. Goss. And
ooh, name drop.
I'm a fan of Mr. Goss, and I want to thank him for, if nothing else, continuing a lifelong friendship. And he was a good teacher and just a good Christian man. But, yeah, the two of them were talking about, Justin was asking what had become of me, and Mr. Goss, since he had been a member of our church too, said, well, I could tell you what happened to him. In fact, I can even put you in touch with his address. And God love him, he did. And out of the blue, Justin writes a letter. And I think the first one he may have put, you know, like a couple trading cards and a drawing he had made. And you know, last time I talked with Justin, he and I were just saying how it's almost like we were separated brothers by birth, just uncanny, the things mm-hmm. that we have in common and interests and senses of humor and things like that. And it worked out perfectly where we had been getting into the same hobbies and loves and everything apart. And so it was just like peas and carrots when we got back
peas
together.
And carrots.
Exactly. Got back into comics and drawing and all sorts of nerdery and good
nerdery.
Old fun. Yeah.
That one's new for Nerds United. We're 8 episodes in, and I think that's the first time we've heard nerdery.
Can we add it to the lexicon?
I think
add
so.
Add it to spell check?
Yeah. Add to dictionary. Right-click.
Let's
good.
Do it.
Nerdery. So you knew Justin in grade school, and the nerdery, you know, formed even after you guys, you know, were not in, you know, classmates together. But when did you start developing an interest in superheroes and comic books?
Oh, boy. That was probably thanks to my dad. When I was maybe probably 6-ish.
That's first grade, roughly?
Or even maybe even kindergarten.
Wow.
He started me reading at a young age. I was reading by about 3.5, 4 and loving it. And he introduced me to comic books probably with the first ones would have been Richie Rich and Star Wars comics. And still have some of them, kept them all this time, just sentimental reasons.
Absolutely.
But, you know, back then it was G.I. Joe, it was Transformers, it was, of course, the Richie Rich and Star Wars and things that I would watch cartoon-wise as a boy. And then from there, probably the next thing would have been Superman because I lived in Metropolis. And 12-year-old.
Metropolis, Illinois.
Oh,
by the way, if you're not familiar with Metropolis, Illinois,
go there.
Sometime, yeah. Take a road trip, you know, on a summer weekend or something like that, and head out there. You know, it seems to be, I don't want to say cliche, but the norm. You know, my wife and I stopped there on our way out to our honeymoon, you know.
Really?
and got our picture taken in front of the massive Superman statue there.
The new one's so much better.
The new one that's been there since 2009?
Yeah.
Since before
they had one before that, and he was awful. He was very poorly.
Poor
he looked like he was going to a disco or something. Just not a good sculpture.
Depending on when he was.
He may have been at the time. he could have been. I mean, he had the burns and the plastered toupee-looking top going, and it was cheese-ish. Oh.
So definitely make your way out there. There's mm-hmm. I was going there with hopes that maybe there'd be a comic book store, that I could pick up some Green Lantern titles, as I'm, a notorious Green Lantern fan, but mostly Superman stuff, obviously, in a town mm-hmm. called Metropolis.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
I'd have to, go to another famous town.
I think
to find a Green Lantern store.
Across to Paducah when you're down that south. That's where I used to go, over into mm-hmm. Paducah, Kentucky, just over
the river. I was
thinking,
there's Metropolis, which obviously shares a famous, D.C. City name. I know there's not, a Gotham City.
Too bad, right?
Yeah, or, a Central City or Star City.
Maybe we shouldn't have a Gotham City, though, because it probably would have been real ghetto. From, what Batman has to put up with.
That's true, true. And there'd probably be some kind of home for the mentally ill.
And
that
it draws all the crazies.
Be,
yeah, I wouldn't want to live there. Metropolis, I'll take. But.
So there you were. You were in living it, growing up in Metropolis,
mm-hmm.
Home of the Massac County Patriots, if you would have gone to high school.
Didn't quite make it there, but I would have been a Patriot, yes.
You would have been a Patriot.
I hate the Patriots now, so I'm glad I missed out on that.
New England Patriots.
Yes,
all
New
right.
England Patriots.
As you sit here in your Denver Bronco orange.
Go Denver.
There's a buddy. I'm going to give him a shout-out right now because he's a big Broncos fan. Andrew, I know you're listening. A kindred spirit, if you will, in my friend sitting next to my right. So you move away, but after time, that friendship with Justin – continues to form and reform to the point where, you're an adult, it's 2009, and he's the best man in your wedding.
Yeah, he was my best man. We had promised each other probably in high school or probably a freshman when we started hanging out big time again and got going to be real good buddies. Just like before, we had told each other, you'd be my best man. Yeah, you'd be my best man too. And sometimes you just say that stuff, and you just say it because you're friends and you want to be nice. But we stuck to it, and he asked me to be his best man over some others that he could have probably picked, and I appreciated that. And he was my best man, and our heights. That was probably a very comical connection there up on the stage because he dwarfs me and I probably looked like an Ewok in a tux.
No,
I hope
no.
not. But
by the way, if I sound at all distracted right now, it's because I'm helping Mike's daughter get the dress on her Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he's putting clothes on a naked woman right now. Just so you know, Ashley.
Furthermore, thanks. Thanks a lot. Furthermore, I just admitted to all my listeners that I'm technically playing with Barbie, but it's for a good
cause.
But
he's doing a good job.
No, I'm not. It's more like a straitjacket rather than a dress. All right, I'm done. So anyway, I failed. You can tell I don't have any children or small daughters in my house. So you get to adulthood. Was there ever a period for you where you kind of got away from comics like I did? I mean, you had that friendship with Justin that, even when comics were not cool, you were still, mm-hmm. You were still following along. The period of the '90s and some of the Grant Morrison JLA stuff and
good stuff.
And I know that you probably more open-minded about a lot of titles than I am. I know this for a fact. you probably were. You strike me, and again, I haven't seen your entire collection because who has that kind of time?
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
But you strike me as somebody who kind of maybe got into that '90s run of the X-Men.
I did, yeah. I was all things with an X in the title for a good long time. I think
X-Force.
Oh, everything X.
What about X-Man?
Yes, it was all of them. X-Man. When they did the Age of Apocalypse, I salivated and I told my shop where I went, which wasn't Twilight yet at the time. It was Books and Company Incorporated. Shout out to Gene, great guy. Always in small selection. It was a bookstore too. Lovely guy.
Where was that located?
That was in Centralia, actually.
Okay.
And used to go there for years, and it was close. But everything X because of Age of Apocalypse. For a good long time, that got in my pocketbook. But I think if there was only one time I really got away from collecting at all, it probably would have been college. Went to college in Missouri, and you don't have the time, you're doing all the work, and you don't have the budget. So probably from about from about 2000 to 2003, it was very sporadic. I'd pick up a few, like the, when the Ultimate Line started and a few of the others, I would pick those up on my way back home to visit the folks, but didn't have the chance to really follow. It was just subscribing to a magazine that used to be beautiful called Wizard, and then they sank their own battleship. But I would follow what was going on. I just couldn't get them.
And, you know, it's funny that you mention Age of Apocalypse. As I don't know if you've heard or not, but even though in 2014, and I want to say the later months of 2014, X-Men Days of Future Past will be out, they've already announced Xbox Apocalypse. Not Xbox, X-Men Apocalypse.
I was thinking, we're switching to video games now, okay.
X-Men Apocalypse as the next movie, even though this one's not even in theaters yet.
Really?
So, and I don't know, like I said, I didn't know if you'd heard that. Obviously, they're probably in the very early stages of pre-production, but I've seen the trailer for Days of Future Past, and it looks...
Is it awesome?
Pretty astounding.
I saw some stills, did not get to see the trailer, but... I'm in, definitely. Days of Future Past, one of the best X-Men storylines. I love dystopias, so anything apocalyptic, easy for me to say, dystopian, I'm there. Maybe I needed hugged more as a child, probably not. Maybe I just needed more puppies, I'm not sure, but I just love it.
So let's talk then about, you know, some of your, you said that you were an X-Men title fan in the 90s. What, as you were growing up in your younger days, I was probably more of a Marvel guy when I was growing up. Wolverine, you know, and don't get me wrong, I still respect the heck out of the Wolverine character and the writers who've helped make him, you know, just bring Old Man Logan is something that I've read here recently that I enjoy, and Wolverine Origins. But I grew up reading more Marvel. Now that I'm an adult, I kind of prefer DC stuff, but I read some Marvel, you know, here and there, mostly when it's something that incorporates a large amount of the Marvel universe. And by that, I mean Civil War, which I really enjoyed.
Good story.
I think I have most of the tie-ins for that. But what were some of your favorite comic characters when you were growing up?
Well, because of Metropolis, I was living in Metropolis when Superman died. So, got to go to the quote-unquote funeral. I had a friend that picked me up the black poly bag, number 75 death issue, and yeah, that was fun. They had casket and a mourning.
Tell me about this, because I've heard about it, but I never really knew anybody who was there.
Yeah, I was there when JFK. No, but they had a live woman posing as a mourning Lois Lane, dressed in black, crying at the casket. The casket was it was in front of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Old statue still at the time, so, geez.
Disco Superman.
But inside the casket was one of the green crystals used in the original 70s Superman movie, which was really cool to see, and they had draped over it the cape that Christopher Reeve wore.
Wow.
Very cool stuff to see. I don't know if they got those from the museum in town.
Was that 92, 93?
Would have been 92, I believe,
92.
Yeah.
That was before Christopher Reeve had his accident.
I believe so, yeah. I don't think that happened for a few more years. Yeah, I don't think he was there for the funeral that I saw.
Well, you know, because he was supposed to be dead. You know, Superman.
That's true. That kind of would have broken the fourth wall, maybe.
Say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just really cool to be at, just to say you were there to see it. It was, you know, you know it's not real, but something that's cool to see,
It was something that was such an event, too.
Oh, my gosh. It was all over the news.
For the longest time, I believe that issue was the highest selling, you know, highest grossing, highest selling comic book at that point.
And I have to credit that storyline and issue with getting me seriously into comic books, because before then it was just dabble, you're a kid, and then I hit 12 and... Whoa, there's death in this storyline.
Right.
This has ramifications. ABC News is talking about this. I want one. So
exactly.
From there, collecting is in my blood from my father. God love him. Got me started on that. And, of course, then you have to collect the whole run of everything.
Which, by the way,
and so forth.
DC, I will not admonish, but I'll make this point that when you follow a character, like me, for me it's Green Lantern,
mm-hmm.
and it was Blackest Night that got me back in.
Oh, yeah.
Blackest Night, and just for that story, not so bad. I think it was 9 issues, 12 issues, something like that.
Something like that, 12, I think.
But then you had Blackest Night for Batman and The Dark Knight and Superman.
All of them and Brightest
the time,
Day.
And then Brightest Day.
Yes.
And then the New 52 and everything. And I'm not – obviously, DC's marketing knows what they're doing. They're making mm-hmm. money. They're happy. But for the consumer, it's like, holy cow, slow down.
Right.
You know, we don't need a big event every – you know, just recently in Green Lantern world, it was Relic.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm still not through all those. But then you have, I've been reading Justice League Dark. And so then you have the Trinity War.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Batman Year Zero or Zero Year. You're killing me, DC.
And
you are expensive.
Most all of it is, 98% of it is quality stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And you want to collect it because they're doing a good job with the teams they have on being a part of just a huge universe, cohesive story that they're trying to tell. Sorry, Hawkman, you don't count.
Really?
Well, I'm a Liefeld hater. I can't help it. Was a big fan of his back before I realized people had to have feet.
Oh.
You know? and women's and men's heads shouldn't look the same. But, sorry, Rob. Love you. But, for the most part, basically, DC is doing it right, and it's killing your pocketbook. And
mm-hmm.
that's another reason I had to tone it down.
Right, and that's something that I had to do in 2013 as well, looking back, is, you know, I was getting, you know, obviously all the Green Lantern stuff, but I was also getting most of the Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And up to Death of the Family, and after Death of the Family, I had to, you know, really scale back what I was getting. So, you know, there are certainly more expensive hobbies out there to have and more expensive collections, but DC's doing its best to, you know, to take, and again, I could stop anytime. DC's not forcing me to collect.
No.
But you get engrossed in these characters and you want to
mm-hmm.
see it through. So, again, kudos to DC for from their standpoint, from the business standpoint, they're doing it right.
Yeah, and when I was a boy, I was more of a Marvel person. But as I've gotten older, it's kind of like some of the comics documentaries I've seen. Marvel Comics appealed to younger readers because they had problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter Parker never fit in. Iron Man faced alcoholism. X-Men were shunned by everybody,
exactly.
Basically. And back then it was, they were like the teens, and the DC universe was like the heavy-hitting adult force, and now that I'm grown up.
And from that standpoint, it makes sense because DC had been around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't, you had established characters when Marvel was creating.
Yeah.
You know,
37, 38, DC comes in, and what was it, 62, 63, where Marvel pops up?
Something like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's very, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that time difference. And
mm-hmm.
and to his credit, when Stan Lee was doing Marvel and creating characters with problems, he wanted, you know, it was the civil rights era. You know,
yeah.
He wanted to get people who were maybe a little bit outstanding from the main.
Yeah.
Get somebody with the nervous habits or, you know.
And it was revolutionary stuff.
Yeah. It's great. It's sold very well.
Yeah.
You know, you try telling me that Spider-Man wasn't a success.
No.
The X-Men, you know, they can't make it. They're making it now. You know, they're doing some great work. So,
mm-hmm.
As you were saying, not to interrupt you like I did, but
no.
you get older, you maybe find that DC in their, not adult themes, but in their more established adult stories, perhaps, stories that, let's take, for example, Death in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Death of Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a kid reading that, you know, that's, I think there's a, you can separate it a little bit more, you know, from child to adult.
Mm-hmm. And I guess by more adult lately with DC, I just see more, there's continuity, there's history, there's ramifications, and with Marvel and so many people in the X universe and all of these titles, there's reboot after reboot after reboot after storyline. Well, somebody dies. Well, I'll see them in another year. And DC doesn't, I don't know, it's just different, I guess. And right now I'm in a DC mode, but the creators switch back and forth too. It's kind of like between name brands. They'll draw or write for Marvel for a little while, and they'll switch over to DC, and they kind of get bored with the one. They'll go to the other company, and so they dabble too.
And a part of that too is, you know, from a creator's standpoint, is where's the check going to come from this month?
Exactly.
You know, if you're on a year run, you know, with DC, and I'll grab a random character, Animal Man, you know, and they say, all right, well, you know, we're going to, you know, wrap up your arc. We're going to go in a different direction. And then you say, okay, you know.
That'd be the time to break, I guess.
Yeah. So then you can, you know, I again, not knowing the personnel side, you know, of being DC, they haven't asked me to come work for them yet. I know, right?
Crazy. Call us.
Please, here's my, no, I'm not going to flash my number out there, but not have, you know, you don't know if there's a non-compete, you know, clause, but
right.
But you have, as a creator, and I've been fortunate in the earlier episodes of Nerds United to sit down with some creators, be them on the national/global scale, or, you know, the smaller, more regional scale, you know, talking with Drew Rose, who I know you know.
That was a good one, by the way.
Oh, you listened to that one.
I did.
Aww.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks. That's the only one I had to give the explicit tag to. Drew and his potty mouth.
Oh, no. same. Oh, you.
But, you know, and that's, as much as I enjoy talking with the creators, man, it's just fun to sit down and talk, you know, with my friend, you know, and talk about these things that we would probably be sitting around, you know, the living room talking about anyway, but putting
armchair quarterbacking, armchair superheroing,
armchair tights wearing, although nobody wants to.
You don't have to just be in an armchair to wear the tights. Well, maybe we shouldn't go there. that's a whole other podcast. Getting awkward.
But what I appreciate, and I, you know, people tell me, you know, or people ask me if I have tattoos, and I say, yeah, I've got a couple. And they say, oh, what are they? So immediately I show them my left arm, Green Lantern. They say, okay, why did you get that? You were influential on that.
Really?
Did I never tell you this?
I don't think you did.
Because you have a Superman.
I do.
Tattoo. Superman logo tattoo. I have another friend of mine who has 3 or 4 Batman logos. And we have another friend
with the Flash.
Who's got the Flash. Mm-hmm. So I wanted something that was going to be in the same vein without copying.
Right. Your own statement.
Exactly. And this was really before I knew much about Green Lantern. So it's weird. A lot of people think that the character influence or my appreciation of the character influenced the tattoo.
So it's almost the tattoo influence.
The tattoo.
That's tattoo, interesting. I did not quite know that.
That's the case.
Very cool.
I think I overpaid for the tattoo.
Well.
But you're going to do that at Sturgis during bike week.
You probably overpaid for a lot at Sturgis during bike week.
Yeah, but it does come with its perks.
That's true. That, and you know what? You kind of got me interested in Green Lantern.
Well, thank you.
Had a few. I think the only other ones I'd really had were when Hal was replaced by Kyle, and that was a pretty major deal where he just went bat nuts and killed everybody, and that was a big one for me to collect. So I had that one. But other than that, after a while, I dropped that. But when Blackest Night started up and you kept getting the Green Lantern comics, I kind of started in checking that out a little more and learning more about the mythos of Green Lantern.
And you find that there's more to it than, you know, just being... A lot of people would dismiss Green Lantern, I think, as space cop, you know?
With squirrels and odd-shaped... And before, I thought that was goofy.
Yeah.
Only when it's written goofily.
Right.
And I don't think goofily is a word, but...
That's up there with nerdery. We could throw it in there.
We can just make up all kinds of things to
Why
add
not?
To the dictionary. But,
Why not?
You know, it's who's handling the material and
so
what you do with it.
Let's talk about that then.
Yeah.
Because of the revitalization of the character of Hal Jordan specifically under Jeff Johns.
Great writer.
And
one of my faves.
And not only has he done that with Green Lantern, but look at what he did with Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Aquaman was the joke.
He was the butt joke of the DC universe,
not even
almost.
DC. I think it was. I think it was of comics.
Yeah.
And he's certifiably BA now.
And I always thought he had the potential. I liked when Peter David took his hand and rebooted it in early to mid-90s.
Yeah. Gave that him showed like a hook or
yeah,
type of thing.
That showed me he had potential. But then that kind of, you know, fizzled out after a while, and Peter David went on to other Peter David things. And but, yeah, I knew it was in there, but he was always a joke. And Geoff Johns has a great ability to make any laughable character to pull out of there some good story or some element that people have overlooked to make them cool and relevant.
And what he can do with, you know, he wrote the Batman Year One.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know it's not called Year One, but the Batman.
I think it's year Zero, maybe.
Or the one that came out where in the similar vein of the Superman Earth One or Year One project.
Oh, okay. Now
the,
I know what you're talking about.
The one collection all at once. And he wrote that, and he takes mm-hmm. he takes a good character, makes him great, and he takes a maybe overlooked or underappreciated character and really raises their prominence, and that's what he
like
did
the
with
Flash Rogues.
The Flash Rogues.
Fleshed them out.
And you know, we were talking about this because I came over with a couple of Blu-rays that I didn't know that you I forgot that we'd mm-hmm. watched one and didn't know you got another one for Christmas, but came over with Man of Steel and Justice League: The Flashpoint Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
You've got my Flashpoint trade, which you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that too, because that's important in your work. And we're not going to get into what you do, but you wish you had more time to read. Like summer is your catching up,
mm-hmm.
you know, which that by itself might have given away what you do. But I don't want to say you're behind. Everybody reads at their own pace or has
priorities.
Yeah, and has priorities, mm-hmm. you know, that have to come ahead of comic book reading or movie watching. We got talking about this several times in the last few years about how far behind you are on Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
So I brought a Flashpoint trade out to you a while back, and that's what we do. We swap comics. That's,
mm-hmm.
And again, that's something that I really enjoy about having friends who are into comics like me, because that may not save me a trip to the comic store, but it, you know, I can borrow something instead of
having
to
something
buy
you want to check out, but you don't want to invest a lot
exactly.
of time and money in.
Exactly.
Well, try this, yeah.
And we've done that because you.
Yep.
I don't even know what all you've lent me over the years to read.
I don't know. Watchmen is the Watchmen, the new miniseries.
Yeah, Before the Watchmen or something,
yeah.
whatever it's called.
And I don't remember what else, a ton.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's what we do. And that's,
mm-hmm.
like I said, that's what's so great about having friends who, you know, with the similar interests. But so you have yet, you've seen the movie Flashpoint Paradox,
mm-hmm.
but you've not yet read the book. And what I've learned is that there are many, similar to Blackest Night and Brightest Day, there are other character tie-ins. Like I picked
mm-hmm.
up Flashpoint Green Lantern, which was weird. It was, you know, Abin Sur didn't die when he was, you know, shot down, so he's
mm-hmm.
still the Green Lantern, and you know, and there are other characters too. And I believe, which you've seen in the movie, it's not in the Flashpoint trade itself, but I believe there might be, and I'd have to check, which I haven't done, there might be a Flashpoint Batman out
there. I think
there's
a Batman, a Wonder Woman, a Superman. There's
probably
got to
be an Aquaman, too, because of the how important they are in the story
yeah.
itself. But in the Batman one, obviously, spoiler alert, if you're not familiar, you know, if you're listening, you've not read or seen Flashpoint, in the Flashpoint alternate reality or altered reality, Batman is not Bruce Wayne, it's Thomas Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Wayne was the one who was killed in Crime Alley that night, you know, many, many years ago. What happens, what you see in the cartoon, in the movie, is Thomas Wayne is beating the crap out of Joe Chill and maybe even, you know, beats him to the point of death.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is Martha Wayne, she has the blood, you know, from young Bruce's body, and she kind of has it on her hands, so she puts her hands to her mouth in, you know, terror and disgust, and oh my God. And when she pulls the hands away, you see the blood smeared, almost look like the Joker smile.
Hmm.
And again, if I could go back and find where there's the story for that, the tie-in, that'd be interesting to see how that story develops.
Right.
Because in the cartoon, well, I just watched the cartoon again before coming over here today. You know, you see that you see a deck of cards on in the Batcave, all you know, taped or stapled to the bulletin board, for lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
and you see the Joker's card is the only one that's intact. So I don't know if in altered, you know, in Flashpoint reality, Martha Wayne slips into madness and becomes the Joker. I don't know.
That would be a very interesting twist. And I have a confession to make, though. I did cheat and read the final issue of the miniseries.
You told me that.
Because it was the kickoff of the New 52, and they said it was important, and I don't normally do that. I'm not a spoiler. I like to be surprised. I know some people and some women in my family that do peek ahead to the last chapter or page.
The women in your family?
I can't. Mom, I'm sorry. my wife being another one, I love her. But that's just, you know, it doesn't bother them. But
mm-hmm.
that's not me. But this time I did because I wanted the kickoff of the New 52 and to see where it all started. And there's not much in there, but it is referenced and it kind of is a catalyst.
It's pretty cool what you see at the end of Flashpoint. And like you said, Flashpoint being... the kickoff for the New 52, mm-hmm. and you see Barry Allen running through the time stream past all of these, you know, other flashes, and at the end he comes out in New 52, you know, regalia, for lack of a better term, and in the new costume. So yeah, it's a fun story. It's kind of different to see, you know, like a Batman, A, who's not Bruce Wayne, and B, who, again, spoiler alert, uses guns.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we got kind of sidetracked talking about Flashpoint there.
We meander.
We do. And this won't be the only conversation we have anyway. We got a lot to talk about. But as I said, you I don't want to say you fall behind, but because of, you know, work and family and whatnot.
My pace is different now.
Yeah.
Partly because of the budget, too. I get him as I can.
And I'm not going to lie. Neither of us are going to midnight shows anymore.
Yeah, partly that's just I'm getting to be an old poop, and I don't want to stay up till 2, 3 in the morning.
I remember...
Isn't that awful?
I remember years ago when I was living up in Nebraska, and I happened to be... It happened to be the summer, of course, where... I was doing news and sports, so I had to be at work at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the year that Star Wars Episode 3 came out,
mm-hmm.
Revenge of the Sith. And my buddy and I, we both went there, and they had a long line, and people had TVs out there, and were watching other, you know, in line. It was a nice evening. And I made my buddy stay up after the movie, you know, because you get out there, you know, Star Wars, so it's close to 3:00 in the morning.
Might as well push on through.
Yeah, I said you're not allowed to go home and go to bed. He said, what? I said, well, there's a chance that I might fall asleep, miss my alarm, and be late for work. So you got to stay up and play video games with me or whatever, you know, till 6:00.
I'm not going to ask where his snooze button was.
This is getting out of hand. So anyway, yeah, we're, you know, and I was 23 at the time, whatever. Times change, you know, and people change, but I think situations mostly change, you know.
Yeah.
Where, like I said, we're not, you know, bachelors anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have responsibilities.
Commitments.
And those mean that, you know, midnight shows aren't going to... I'm not taking a day off of work
mm-hmm.
to go to midnight when I could go on Saturday. You
right.
know, or Sunday. What's going on? That was Mike's little daughter.
Something is interesting to her. I'm talking with my friend Greg. We're doing a podcast.
She's like, I don't know.
I have no idea, but you have headphones.
All she's saying is that you are ignoring me, and I'm not happy.
I know.
But she's, you know what, you
said pretty good, though.
Before we started recording, you said, you know, there are a couple circumstances, situations that might cause you to hit pause.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being that, you know, your little girl, and to protect her online anonymity, we're just going to call her little girl or daughter. She doesn't necessarily need a name in Nerds United Episode 8, but you said, you know, she's going to wake up. At some point, she's going to wake up. But, and I'm not saying that television as a babysitter is a good idea, and that's certainly not what we're doing. But the cartoons are on, and she is happy.
I don't like to rely on it, but in a pinch, sometimes, you know, where's my confessional? It can be effective.
And again, we're sitting here, you know, she's not running around with scissors or knives, and
not yet.
She's not gluing her hands to her hair.
We locked up all the explosive devices, and yeah.
So I mean, it's not like you're watching her. It's mm-hmm. just
Hey, we dressed Barbies while we talked comics.
That's right.
We're multitasking.
We dressed Barbie,
and Barbie is still in that miniskirt, so we're doing all right. Or is it a sundress? It doesn't matter.
The fact that I don't know about that.
Not my world.
But you know you're the daddy, just
last thing off track here. You know you're the daddy of a little girl when I caught myself putting the high heels on My Little Pony and doing a good job of it the other night. And this was not my world.
So you're not a brony?
Let's put it this way. When my sister was a little girl and I was a G.I. Joe or as a little boy, my job was to rip, I'm ashamed to say this, I ripped heads off of Barbies, and I was a jerk, and then they got squat necks when you'd shove them back on, and they were never the same, and so I was that big brother.
Those 80s toys, though, you know, when you pulled the head off, you're not getting it back on.
No, they're never going to be the same.
All right, yeah, so lots of things that we have been talking about here today. Mike, as we... And we could go on and on, but we got to save something for the next show.
Can there be another show? I would love to.
Yeah, as long as I have access to the audio equipment.
That'd be great.
That I'm borrowing from the radio station I'm only temporarily working at anymore.
That could be a problem.
But no, it should not be a problem. I'd be more than happy to get you back on.
Love to, anytime. And maybe we can add Justin and do the three next time.
Which brings me to something I wanted to bring up. I know we don't have details and you can't give specifics, but a little teaser, something you were telling me about a week ago, an event that you and Justin are planning.
Yes. I hope that this is okay to say. I'll try to as I can. Justin and I are in the works to plan something major and fun in our local friend's nerdery. And it's going to be big. We're sending out flyers, and... all I can say is it involves a lot of things that we love. It's an event, and I really it's a day long, and I'll talk more about it next time after
hopefully we can get you both on it and talk about it.
Yeah, maybe that'd be the best way to do it. But yeah, this is just the teaser of what's coming.
Hey, little
up.
One.
We want more drink.
I don't think you need any more sugary drink.
Yeah, let's get them cracked out on sugar for the day, right?
You can't have any
of mine.
Send
them somewhere else. Yeah, definitely not any of Uncle Greg's Mountain Dew Voltage.
Yeah, the only reason I got this, I'm glad you brought it up.
I was waiting for it.
I wanted to get to this rant earlier. my local convenience store, which I believe is the only convenience store in my town that carries the 20-ounce bottles of Ski.
Really?
I think so. From the convenience store, like if I, run in, pay for gas or whatever, and go. Maybe that's just because that's the only one I go to.
There's bound to be another one somewhere.
But they have been out of Ski for 3 days. I'm about to lose my mind.
Shame on them.
Shame on them. Because I need my real lemon, real orange, real good Clinton County flavor.
I was going to say, but it's not Clinton County, so... I guess you can be mad, but not, don't stay mad.
You mean to drive all the way to Clinton County?
No.
All right, so...
you just stock up.
There you go. Then I drink too much too fast. That's why I can't get the glass
bottle.
You lock
it up and give your wife the key.
That's why I can't get the 12-ounce glass bottle Ski, because I would have had it gone before I ever got out of town.
I love glass bottle soda.
Glass bottle Ski, pure cane sugar. It's the
yes.
Best. I need to talk to them about sponsoring the show. one more thing that I want to talk about. Mike, as I know you've listened to the show, some shows in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We always try to end out the show, especially if it's a first-time guest like you are, with three biggest nerds that you can think of in, we'll say celebrity nerds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three individuals who you look at and you'd be like, yeah, they're carrying the banner pretty good for the nerd community.
Mm.
Do you have, and again, I'm dropping this on you on the spot. So mm-hmm. if you want to think it over and have a short list prepared for next time, more than fine.
Well, I would go, and this one's probably been brought up before. I'm sure it has been. I would go J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Very creative, awesome individual when it comes to, you know, writing, just
and directing.
You know what all he's in.
And lens flares.
And his new book, maybe we can talk about next time, S. He did a co-project with somebody else. It's a book about literature, and maybe we can talk about that next time. He just branches out in all sorts of things, and he represents nerd and geek culture well, and doing it the right way. Lost, one of the most beautiful TV shows I've ever seen. So he'd be one of mine.
You mean up until the last episode?
It made me cry.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I just think most people didn't understand that one.
Okay. But
let's talk about that next time, too. I want to enlighten some people, maybe. We'll give a spoiler alert.
I better start watching episodes or seasons 2 through 4 now.
You better get cracking.
Is there, what, the 4 seasons?
No, there's 6, man.
Okay, well, I got a lot of Lost to watch then.
Be patient. Hang in there. You will be rewarded.
Okay.
That'd be one. Let's see. Another one. I would go... That is a very tough call. I may have to... you know what?
We get you one now, and then we get the rest of
it. I'm going to do one more. Let's go Stephen King.
Interesting.
Not one you would think, but I've read when he wrote entertainment articles for Entertainment Weekly. Very knowledgeable about pop culture, geek culture, nerd culture, reviews, music, comic books... television. He's in the know, and he has some pretty out there taste, but some good taste too. And he wouldn't be one you would think of, but I would probably flag him.
Well, tell you what we could do about in regards to that. His short story, and I can't remember the name of it, but and this is not any secret to anybody, but he wrote the short story that inspired Shawshank Redemption. He wrote the short story that inspired the TV show Haven on Sci-Fi, which I have not watched yet.
I have not either.
But Adam Copeland, WWE's Hall of Famer Edge, has a pretty much recurring role on that one. So, yeah, I mean, I could see, you know, Stephen King's done a lot. And I go back, one of my favorite Stephen King books to read, and I've read it a couple times, and first picked it up at my high school library. You know, that was either junior high or high school, because both schools shared a library, shared a building, and it was, this hallway was the junior high, and this hallway was the high school. The Eye of the Dragon, it's a bit of a fantasy novel from Stephen King, some of his earlier stuff.
I don't know that I've read that one.
I've got it at the house if you ever want to borrow it.
I would, sir.
You know, put it on the list of things.
The stack that is twice as tall as me now and growing by the day. Yeah, let's just, you know, throw it up there on the top.
I'll try.
Last one for my third, just thought of, I'll go CM Punk.
Very, very true.
I think he represents,
and you're not the first person to drop his name.
I didn't think I would have been, but just the t-shirts he wears, the references to pop culture and entertainment he makes, knowing what he reads and has recommended, I'm impressed so far.
He's a big Brubaker fan.
He is. And I am too. So, the ones that he reads and recommends, I can see a lot of truth in there. So he'd be my third.
Plus, he has a cobra tattoo.
And how cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you kind of know when you see that one, I'll bet this guy likes some cool stuff that I like too. And you just know. You can tell.
And what I like, I follow CM Punk on Twitter. And what I like about him is he's not, you know, politically correct.
No?
He's got his way of thinking. It doesn't always... line up with my, you know, like, we don't agree, not that I've ever had the opportunity to sit down, talk to him, and share my disagreements with him, you know, but there are a lot of things that he believes or doesn't believe that I, you know, don't believe or do believe, so we have but I just like how he's not afraid to tell like it is. He's not afraid to, you know, and especially...
And that's a dying breed.
Yeah, in this world of politically correctedness, and especially from the public... You know, he's in the view of the public for, you know, so much. The fact that he just, not that he doesn't care, but the fact that he's not going to bend his structure, his way of thinking, just to appease a few people.
Yeah, he's not going to sell out who he is and what makes him him. And he's, like Frank Sinatra, he did it his way. And he's one of the few in his industry that made it and did it at the same time.
And to quote Sinatra from the 1960s musical Robin and the Seven Hoods, Chicago, it's their kind of town, Chicago. Anyway, so now that I've officially broken into song, that's a good time to wrap things up.
Yeah, let's before he gets doing the chorus kicks. That could get dangerous. This isn't a large area, so.
Well, fortunately, there are small children around who I don't want to accidentally.
Yeah, you don't want to punt them.
Mike, it's been really good having you on. I'm glad that schedules, and the stars aligned, so to speak, that we could get together and get this show knocked out. And looking forward to getting you on a second time, and probably with Mr. Holman. Mm-hmm. And we've got some things to talk about for 2014.
Sounds good.
That is Mike. Here we go. This is a nice comic book tie-in. Mike, the question. Because the last name, we don't give. The Enigma. Ooh, Enigma.
Nice.
Huh. All right. Anyway, it's my good friend Mike, and I'm happy that he was able to join me on Nerds United Episode 8. I've got phone calls to make. I've got to get the people from Ski on, see if they'll sponsor the show. Even if they sponsor it with a free case of Ski every month.
Twitters of nerds to follow and add to our list. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yes. And I want to say, for Christmas, I got... I'm guessing you had a good Christmas.
Had a great Christmas, yeah. Low-key, but good.
My wife, for Christmas, got me two books that I've been wanting for a while. Mm-hmm. Dan Brown's Inferno, mm-hmm. Which I'm really interested to read, because I also have Dante's Inferno, or The Divine Comedy. Mm-hmm. I have the entire thing. But I also got Brad Meltzer's The Fifth Assassin.
Like Brad Meltzer. Good
Brad
stuff.
Meltzer, he's somebody that I'm trying to get on the show. If I could pull that one off, he's definitely on the short list of individuals to get on Nerds United. I actually sent him a Facebook message a while back. I've got to probably scroll quite a ways to find it, and not sure that I'd be able to find it here while we have this conversation going without really making the... here we go. All the way back in October, I sent Brad Meltzer a message, a link to my podcast, all that good stuff, and this is the response that I got from Brad. And I said, I'm a fan, yada, 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 of the show, of the books. He said, thanks, brother. Too kind of you. I'll pass it along to my publicist who controls my tour, but feel free to pull any quotes you want from our site, too. Thanks for thinking of me.
Very cool.
If I could get Brad Meltzer on, because, again, big fan of his novels, big fan of Identity Crisis, which I just read again.
One of my all-time favorites.
I read it over 2 days, Christmas week, and big fan of the show Decoded on History.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad himself has discussed the fact that he's, at the beginning of this year, he is working on a Batman project.
Oh, now you've got me excited. That's awesome.
And think about the kind of writing he did for Identity Crisis. Think about the detective work mm-hmm. for some of his novels.
The reveals in Identity.
Yes.
Just what he did with Batman and Robin's characters in there was beautiful.
And the idea of putting a writer like that mm-hmm. on the world's greatest detective.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
I am.
It's a match made in nerd heaven.
I want to swim around in that pool of Reese's goodness.
I don't know if he'll come on the show if you do too many of those analogies. It works.
Well, you said peanut butter and chocolate.
I did.
And I'm
started
like,
it.
I mean, like, I love Reese's Cups.
What's not to love, right?
So anyway, if I will keep you all in the know. He's definitely on the list. I'm still working with some folks from DC, try to get some of them on, some guys from Dark Horse. And so lots of excitement, hoping that 2014 is a big, big year for Nerds United. Thanks again to my longtime friend and a guy who was in my wedding, Mike.
Mike S.
I was going to say Mike R., Mike the Riddler. Mm. Mike Enigma.
You can go with it.
For years,
I'm okay with
when
it.
You were a bachelor, we called you Mikey.
That's true.
So now I could be Mike Enigma.
You could put all that together. I kind of like that.
Mike Enigma.
Let's do it.
Mike Enigma.
Thanks for having me. And we've got a new moniker. What a What a great way to end. I like the closure.
I think so.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed being on
here. And we'll get Mikey Enigma on again with our friend Justin Holman and get a three-way dance, the triple threat, if you will, of all three of us nerds sitting down and talking. And hopefully next time we meet with these gentlemen, we'll get some more information on this event being planned for not just 2014, but an annual event in our small community that hopefully grows, sees much success.
That's the plan.
I've got to get out of here. I've got to take a drink of my Mountain Dew Voltage, which, while it's okay, it's a pretty poor substitute
for ski.
So, folks at Ski, you're going to be hearing from me, and I hope we can work out a deal.
Call me. Right.
This has been Nerds United Episode 8 on Jittery Monkey. Thanks for listening. We'll see you down the road.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.